We come to the third of the songs, the birth songs, as they are often called, recorded in Luke's Gospel. This one, the song of the angels. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. This morning particularly we think about the purpose of the incarnation. Purpose of the incarnation. The setting, of course, is very simple. We always think about the country life as being unsophisticated and quite simple in its background. And here are the shepherds about their usual task in the fields round about Bethlehem. Everything is quiet and nothing is anticipated. There is no ostentation about these people, no show, no wonderful vision, as was the case with the wise men who later came. No wonderful star to lead them. They were just quietly going about their job in the middle of the night. And this is quite in keeping with what we've already seen. For you remember when we were looking at the announcement that was made to Mary in the Magnificat, the "My soul doth magnify the Lord," we saw then how there was humility in her heart as she received this message from the angel. We reminded ourselves then that Nazareth was not the place that one would expect anybody to come to. And indeed, our Lord was often missed by the people as the Messiah because they said no good thing could come out of Nazareth. But this morning we find that there's a spotlight turned on, as it were. That away from the humility of Mary and the thanksgiving of Zacharias and the prophetic word which we saw a fortnight ago by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, we now have this glory to God in the highest. And I want us to catch this because it's a wonderful part of the whole theme of Christmas. When the announcement was made to Mary in Luke chapter 2, we read these words, verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." When Zacharias was saying the words of the "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," we find that he says regarding his own son, verse 76, "Thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest." And here, therefore, we are coming to see something of the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the purpose of it, as we look into this particular text. Quite impossible to exhaust it, but quite impossible, I should imagine, to say anything new about it. But of course, Christmas time is a reminding of ourselves of the basic things, the basic truth of our faith, that God became man in order to redeem man to himself. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. First and foremost, I turn to look at the fact of God's glory. This is the whole theme here. God's glory manifested, you'll notice, first of all in verse 9. Verse 8 tells us, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." This is the first thing that came to the shepherds. They experienced the glory of God shining round about them before ever the angels spoke, before ever there was any kind of move, as it were, in the whole drama of the incarnation, so far as they were concerned. The first thing they experienced was the glory of God. You may remember that in later years, in the Acts of the Apostles, This was precisely what happened to the Apostle Paul. As Saul, he was going along the Damascus Road to persecute and stamp out the Christians. And the first thing was that there was a blinding light. He fell to the ground and he was struck with the glory of God suddenly revealed to him. And in a sense, you see, you have this, that the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the bursting into the affairs of the world, as it were, the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. This was the first message. And perhaps we haven't seen this aspect of Christmas very clearly. That it has to do with God's glory being manifest to man. You'll notice that the first message that came from the angel said unto them, "Fear not." Before the angel gave the message of the Christ being born in Bethlehem, these men were trembling with fear. We read that they were sore afraid. The angel's first message is one of reassurance, that the coming of God in the incarnation, the glory of God that had been revealed, was something that was not to be dreaded, but something that was to be approached with awe and with reverence. There's a great deal of difference between this. We sometimes talk about the fear of the Lord. We don't mean the dread, the cringing, the shrinking away from God. But the acknowledgement of his greatness, the fact that we don't understand his person, his glory, his wisdom, and yet we bow before him in this way. Later on we find, of course, that this is taken up, this idea of the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't often see this. We don't often see that God glorified himself in the fact that his Son became man. Or rather that his Son came into the world to redeem man. This is something which is to glorify him. Now we find in John chapter 1, of course, that there is mention of the Lord Jesus Christ in the words of the Gospel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here in the first chapter of John, which sometimes we might find rather difficult to read, it starts off, you remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. This chapter is about Christmas, the Christmas message. The Word was made flesh. The Son of God became a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And then in brackets in the middle it says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." So there you have the carrying on of this theme of the grace, the glory of God in the matter of the incarnation. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter, second letter, chapter 4, verse 6, we read this: "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What a strange thing, isn't it? Talking about the knowledge of the glory of God, which we see in the face